Wayne Taylor is a veteran of the Navy Country Current Band, spent a good deal of time there, left, has started several different projects which are all still ongoing. Appaloosa is one you might more familiarly know in the bluegrass community. He has a brand new album out called Carnegie Tradition. It's part of a bigger show that Wayne puts on involving country music. Got a lot of things going on. We're going to talk to Wayne, and he'll explain all about why the album came to be. I'm really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass Wayne Taylor. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good, man. It's good.
Well,
good.
I appreciate you talking with me.
Well, I appreciate you being available. I've been a fan since we were talking off the air about your time in the Navy band. I know of Appaloosa, and the reason we're talking now, you have a new release available called Carnegie Tradition. But you've been bluegrass live for a long, long time, and all of us out here know who Wayne Taylor is, and I had the opportunity to get to meet you on the IBMA board that we both serve on. So it just makes it much more easier for me to reach out to you, and I appreciate you being available.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
As I just stated, the reason I think we're going to talk first is the Carnegie Tradition album, and I've seen the album cover, and I know where the idea comes from, but talk a little bit about that album. We're going to talk about the Navy band before we leave here, but let's get on top of the Carnegie Tradition release and who's playing with you and where'd the concept come from?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I started a theater show. I started a giant country band. I have 9 pieces in there, and I wanted to pay homage to the country legends, you know, George Jones, Hank
yeah.
Williams Sr., and Patsy Cline, Tammy Wynette, Don Gibson. Those 5 artists are the people that were featuring on this one particular show. And Warren Yates was out in the audience. Warren Yates makes banjos, and he says,
yeah.
And I had another band, a local band, open up for me. He said, you know what would be great if we did a tribute to Flat and Scruggs? And then that could open up the show for the country thing. So I started a production, a big production thing called, it's WayneTaylorsProductions.com. But I feature country and bluegrass legends.
Wayne, do you do this in one venue that you consistently use?
Well, we did Don Gibson Theater down in Shelby,
mm-hmm.
and Don Gibson's wife just happened to be there in the audience, and that was really cool. And so she said, that's one of the best shows I've seen here. It really made me feel good. But, yeah, we put the Carnegie Tradition out in front, and we'll do a 45-minute set. Featuring all the songs from Carnegie Hall in 1962. And we'll add a couple songs along with that. But, yeah, that's the main focus, is to feature Flat and Scruggs music from Carnegie Hall.
Well, and you can tell that from the red ties, if nothing else.
Right.
Those little red string ties or whatever they're called. That kinda,
little colonel ties.
That's right. So who's and we are talking about Carnegie Tradition. Is it? I've got it. Is it available if people want to go find it? How would they find it on your website?
They can go on my website and purchase it, or they can go on cdbaby.com.
Okay.
And they can get them that way, or they can come to our performances. And that's what we're trying to do, is just to have something to present to people when we go do the shows. So now Carnegie Tradition has a CD, and Wayne Taylor's Great American
gotcha.
Country Band has a CD.
Oh, okay.
So we have some product that we can move and put on a show, and people can take us home with them if they want to.
Now, when you come at a project like that, and of course, if you're dealing with Flat and Scruggs and that Carnegie Hall, how do you even start wrestling with that? How do you even get your hands around that type of a project? Because I've heard it's excellent, and we'll talk about some of the songs, but you can describe how you in your mind, okay, we're going to do this, and how do you think about getting your hands around that? I just think it'll be so overwhelming.
Okay, so we listen to all the songs, and I say, okay, I want to do this one, I want to do this one, and I pick, you know, a big pile of them that I'd like to do. And so we narrow it down to maybe 10, 11, 12 songs, and we just start rehearsing these things over and over and over, and the ones that we feel really comfortable with, that we feel like we could do a good job and go into a studio and not waste a whole lot of time. And that's the kind of the way I approach it. We can get through these songs, that they will sound they'll sound good. I feel comfortable singing them, you know, and we get our harmony parts down and everything. So once we get the thing under our belts, then we can go to the studio. But the interesting thing about this is Studio East is in Charlotte, North Carolina. That was Arthur Smith's studio.
Oh, okay.
And Tim Eaton is the engineer there. I've known him for a while because I did a gospel CD there a while back. And Tim told me, he says, man, you need to bring your bluegrass band in here. We'll record that. He said, Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs recorded here.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I thought, man, that's so cool. And he started telling me the people that have recorded there at Studio East. You know, Arthur Smith had a big pile of friends. I mean, we're talking Johnny Cash. Willie Nelson came in there. Madonna's even recorded there.
Really?
It was, yeah. And James Brown recorded. He's got a brand new bag there.
It sounds like a place like King Records in Cincinnati where everybody came by and the Osmond Brothers and Stanley and James Brown, everybody else. It's just like one of those local places where everybody was there. When you think about it, thinking back at it, you think, man, everybody came through this place.
I know, and it's so cool to think. I mean, Willie Nelson's, one of his cigarette burns is on the console right there, too. That's Willie Nelson's cigarette burn.
You don't see that every day unless you go to a concert for Willie Nelson.
No. Yeah, but once we got that, and I knew Tim is just a great guy. He's been doing this 60 years. And to have him back there turning the knobs and selecting the microphones and everything, he's just a really knowledgeable guy. And so I knew it would be fun, and it would be the place to do it. So that's what we did.
And Wayne, you have that great the tone of your voice fits. I'm not saying you're trying to imitate Lester, but you're right in that range that I think Lester
well,
has.
Well, yeah, we both have the same range, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's just you kind of turn into Lester and you start dressing like him. I don't know what it is.
Sometimes I've always, and I just talked to somebody about this recently. It may have been, I know who it was, but I made this comment that Lester always, to me, untrained ear, he sang like he was talking. It was,
yeah.
You know, it was the easiest, but he was singing, but you think, well, he's just talking it, and you have that same. You have that same nice, easy, big, full, powerful voice, but it's almost that same approach to your song.
Well, that's something Bill Emerson taught me.
Is it really?
He said, you sing it like you talk it.
I did not know that. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
I didn't either. I mean, I always thought, you got to yell and sound like an opera singer when you're singing it. He said, no, man. You sing it like you say it.
Well, that's, if Bill says it, he knows. You know, Bill.
He does know. I learned so much from him.
And we're talking. You're talking about Bill Emerson, we're not finished talking about Carnegie Tradition, but Bill Emerson hired you for the Navy band, and that there's so much great tradition out of that band. And Bill is the one that I instantly recognized because I'm a banjo player, and I knew who Bill was, and when he came out, and everybody, you know, you had to play all the stuff that he played on his Stelling, but. But you go back a long ways in that Navy band.
Yeah, I first met Bill in 1987. That's when I was hired. I stayed there 21 years, but six of those years I worked with Bill Emerson. He was my boss.
He's I don't know if you look up class act in the dictionary.
Oh, that is him.
You might not just his face, but his shirt and his tie and where he's buttoned up and everything is polished. I don't think he ever left the military. Every time I see Bill, he's still ready for roll call, I think.
Well, you know, he went to military school.
Oh, did he really?
Kid.
I did not know that.
So he's a very structured guy. And he takes care of his stuff. These Navy uniforms used to have these big, you know, in our blues, they have these big golden buttons on them with eagles on them. And they will scar the dickens out of an instrument.
Yeah.
So he used to take couch buttons and he'd put on there so he wouldn't mess up his banjo.
Oh.
He really took care of his stuff. He's just a neat person.
Bill's been on this program a couple of times and I just let him go. I just love to hear the stories of traveling on the road and all the things that he did and the tunes that he would bring into a band that he would hear. He had a great ear for hearing things, and well, Fox on the Run. I mean, I think Bill picked it up off the radio and said this was not a bluegrass song, but everybody thinks it is. But he heard it and thought it was something that could work out for a bluegrass band, and it did.
Yeah, well, that was one of my audition songs.
Was it really?
Yeah. Well, and I sang, "She walks through the corn leading down to the river." He said, "No, it's by the river."
So, okay. That's great. I was just testing you, Bill. I was seeing if you remembered what it was. Yeah. Well, there's so much great. You, Bill Emerson, Keith Arneson has been on the show most recently. And did you overlap with Keith then toward the end?
Oh, yeah. 15 years I worked with Keith.
Oh, okay. I tried to get some dirt on you, Wayne. I tried to get some stuff from Keith.
And it's not hard.
No. But all
you got to ask the right people.
Well, I said, I just was trading messages with him, and I just think of the world of Keith. I'm really fond of him as a person, a musician. And here's what he told me, that you were the most professional guy I ever worked with, that you taught him how to be a musician and be in a band, and for the 15 years that you never did anything but your best. And I thought, well, I can't use that. That don't get me nowhere.
That'll never sell.
Nobody will believe that of a musician. Come on. But he enjoyed all that time with you, and I think he's enjoying his time away as much as he can.
Well, we work in Appaloosa now. You know, yeah. He's with me there. So we just went to Havasu, Lake Havasu, and had a wonderful time there.
That's right.
The folks over in Scotland are asking me to come over there. So I'm real close to booking something over there for 2019. And, of course, mm-hmm. Keith will get to go along with that, and Emery and Keene. So.
Wow.
So good things are happening.
Absolutely. And let's tell the audience about who's on. And if you're just tuned in, I'm talking to Wayne Taylor. And tell me who plays with you on Carnegie Tradition. There are 13 songs. The last one is a blip and doesn't fit in Carnegie Hall, but we'll talk about that. But tell me who's playing on the band in Carnegie Tradition.
Okay. Banjo player is Donnie Little. I could talk about Donnie for a long time. He's from Claremont, North Carolina. He's been teaching since he's 9 years old. He's just one of those guys. You know, his dad bought him a banjo when he was five, and so he's been playing one ever since. But there's a big, long history behind him. Warren Yates actually built a banjo specifically for this band. It's called the Carnegie, and that's the banjo that Donnie plays on this recording.
And so, Wayne, those are Yates banjos. I've seen them around. I guess I think for some reason I think Ronnie Stewart was always playing at Yates.
Ron Stewart, mm-hmm. Yep, and he's even has they're going to build one. Ben Eldridge, I think,
okay.
A model.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to start a new line for that. But yeah, Ron is one of the endorsees there for Warren Yates on those banjos.
Well, who else joins us on this?
Okay, we have Ronnie Black on the mandolin and singing tenor. He's from Statesville, North Carolina, and he does a great job. He's a real cowboy. He's a good guy. And then we have Ron Stewart, who added the fiddle parts.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad catch there.
No.
And a guy named David Johnson plays the dobro. He worked with Arthur Smith years and years ago as their steel guitarist. He's one of the main utility people around the studios around this part of the country.
Hmm.
He's on every gospel CD that comes out. Well, he's just phenomenal, can play any instrument.
And if people come and see you perform and then you first come out and do the Carnegie Tradition, that would be pretty much the band
we'd have a different fiddle player and we'd have a different dobro player.
Okay.
And sometimes we'll go out as a four-piece and we'll leave the fiddle man at home, but we have several fiddle players that play with us locally here. So,
okay.
Those are interchangeable parts of the fiddle and the dobro are.
So if someone wants to find Carnegie Tradition, there's a website, I assume it's connected to you, they can go find where you're going to be and how they can find you?
Right, they can go, well, I have four different groups I'm working with now.
Okay.
But all of it is included on WayneTaylorProductions.com.
Okay. And the four groups, then we know Carnegie Tradition. You mentioned Appaloosa, which was that the band that you formed after you left the Navy?
Right.
Okay.
2008.
Yeah.
I got together with Emery Lester, and we've been together ever since.
Is Emery the guy that plays guitar with Mark Johnson down in Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
okay.
Sure is. He's just a phenomenal mandolin player. He showed me a letter one time that Chris Thiele wrote to Emery. back when he was a kid, and he said, "Thank you, Mr. Lester, for all the inspiration you've given me to play mandolin."
Yeah.
Signed, Chris Thiele. I thought, man, that's a cool letter to have.
You might keep that one for a while.
I think so, yeah.
and then the country band that you mentioned, I want to get the full name of that because I know it's a different show, and your voice lends so well to those country singers that you mentioned, but that, I assume that's another one of the bands that you have.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Taylor's Great American Country Band.
Okay.
And we've got a few gigs that we have lined up. I have a booking agent. His name's Carl White. He's with Life in the Carolinas TV show. So he actually does our MC work for us sometimes when he's not doing his TV stuff, but he's a great guy. Life in the Carolinas TV show.
And okay.
Right up here in Wilkesboro, North Carolina.
Well, you're
and then
go ahead.
The other group, I have a duo, gospel duo. I work with a piano player named Mickey Basil. As a matter of fact, he's here at the house now. Hmm. And he played with Dottie West, Kenny Rogers, anybody you can name from back then at that time. Randy Travis. He played with Stevie Ray Vaughan. He's just done all kinds
wow.
of amazing piano players. But he plays piano. I play guitar and sing gospel songs. And we actually have a couple shows coming up tomorrow and the next day here at local churches. We play Denver United Methodist Church tomorrow night and Catawba Heights in Belmont, North Carolina, on Wednesday.
Wayne, versatility that you're talking about here, I can't say the word, but versatility, is that from, or is it just part of being in the Navy band? I know you guys didn't always show up and do bluegrass stuff, but do you feel like that's expanded, or is it something you always did anyway, was different types of music?
Well, I grew up singing in the church choir. I mean,
okay.
as a kid, I guess I was 13 or so, and I was in the Royal Ambassadors in the Baptist Church here in Maiden, in my small town I grew up in, and Mom got me in that choir to help me, just to help develop my singing some. So I've always been into that, but I didn't even know about bluegrass until I was about 18. But I started playing when I was 9, so I was hearing the Beatles songs and stuff before that, even before the Beatles came out, I was playing. And so I have a different background. I mean, I played soul music, what we call soul music, when I was a kid, 12 years old.
What,
I was
what,
in a band.
What do you call soul music?
Well, soul music, I'm talking about Under the Boardwalk, the beach music.
Oh, yeah, stuff. Yeah, okay, cool. All right.
Sam Cooke, those guys.
Oh, yeah, okay. Did you sing the Sam Cooke line?
You know, I used to sing Wait for the Midnight Hour, Percy Sledge,
oh,
all that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I did all that stuff as a kid. We'd play sock hops at high schools and stuff. So I don't know. I love all music. And then I went to college, and I actually got into college as a voice major. So I was singing opera music.
No wonder I mean, you sing so good.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
Oh,
but I do have that background, and I just love it all. I sang in the a cappella singers at University of Pacific, and I mean we were like 30 people, and we just a big group of really good singers. It was fun.
I bet you learned breath control.
Yeah, I did very much so. I had a vocal coach, and I did that for a while, but then after a while I switched over as a guitar major, so I started doing classical guitar. So I love all kind of music.
Yeah, you do. You do. So did you join the Navy, or did you try out for the band to be part of the Navy? What came
well,
first?
I'll try to go quickly, but
okay.
I went to the Navy in 1974, and I told the recruiter, I says, I want to go to the West Coast, and I want to be in aviation. He says, okay, I'll promise you those two things. Sign a dotted line.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what we did. And he kept his promise.
I
went
good.
To the West Coast.
Good.
I went to San Francisco. I was in aviation, and then I went to Midway Island. I was there 17 months. But, you see, I had all this musical background as a kid. I knew how to play. So I found a Stratocaster, an old Fender Stratocaster over there on the island and a set of drums. So I started a band, and we started playing around the island. So we were like the island band. And they'd have me playing at the Chiefs Club and the EM Club and Officers Club and all kind of places. And the island's very small. It's like, you know, maybe 800 sailors there, and not more than 1,000 people on the whole island. And they would bring entertainment over. They brought the band from Hawaii over, and they played Cat Stevens and James Taylor and all kind of songs that I knew how to play. And they had horns, they had keyboards, but they had a big variety of music they played. So somebody on the island said, get Wayne up there to play with you. So they got me up there to play with them. And the guy in charge says, you know, you're good enough to be a Navy musician. I said, I didn't even know they had bands like this in the Navy. I thought they just had the marching bands that go down the street playing horns and that sort of thing. I said, no, man, we got all kind of different styles of music. So they set me up an audition over in Hawaii, and I did that and passed the audition, and then they sent me to the School of Music in Little Creek, Virginia. And I did that for 6 months, and then they sent me to Japan. So I was over in Japan for 2 years. I was married at the time, and my wife didn't care much for all that traveling I was doing. But they said, what can we do to keep you in the Navy, you know, after my enlistment was up? I said, well, I want to go to Washington, D.C. and play with Bill Emerson.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
By then you knew who he was.
Well, in that band over in Japan, I said, get me a master tone banjo. Sure. They'd get me anything I wanted, you know. I said, yeah, get me a master tone. I'll start playing banjo. So we started doing Fox on the Run on our shows. And then they said, well, you can play banjo. You can be banjo player in our Dixieland band. So I started doing that, you know, with the flat pick, the Dixieland thing. So they said, okay, so what can we do to keep you in? I said, well, I want to go play with Bill Emerson. They said, well, there's a guy named Jerry Gilmore, and he's not going to retire anytime soon, and we have to move him out to put you in, so we're not going to do that. So I said, okay, I'm going to get out. And I got out for 8 years.
Did you really?
Yes. And that's when I went to the University of Pacific and started my schooling. So I studied music and wound up with a degree in music therapy. And so I came back to North Carolina after 5 years of doing that and up in California. And then we came back to North Carolina, and I started looking for a job. And I was looking for a music therapy job, but they had one open in the prison unit. They said you could be a counselor in prison, you know, and it's a pretty decent job, but you need a college education. I said, well, I have that. So I tried out for that, and I became a counselor in the prison unit here at North Carolina. And I did that for 3 years, and then they discontinued program, and I became a probation officer.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was a probation officer for 1 year. It's about all I could handle. I mean, it's a great job.
When I met my wife, she was a probation officer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was a prosecutor in the county. She was a probation officer.
Yeah, and I did that for 1 year, and I said, I'm going to see what the Navy has available. And it just so happened, the very day I went to the recruiter, they said, all right, here's what's available in the music program. We can put you in Memphis. We can put you in Hawaii. San Diego, I think, had an opening. Oh, yeah, and there's one in Washington, D.C. for Country Current. I said, you're kidding. That's what I want to try for. So I contacted them, and they knew who I was. The people at the Bureau knew who I was from my previous enlistment. And they contacted Country Current and Bill and all of them. They said, well, tell Wayne to send us this cassette tape right here with these 6 songs on it, just his voice and his guitar. And I knew Bill had perfect timing.
Boy, does he.
So I made sure that I didn't miss a lick on that audition tape. And they had 6 songs on there, and I sent those in, and then they said, we want you to come up for a formal audition. And I drove to Washington from North Carolina and did the audition. And I remember the lieutenant passing a note to this guy. I said, that's the guy we want.
No kidding. That's cool. That's a neat story. That's a neat story.
Well, it just so happened when Jerry Gilmore was leaving was the perfect time to try out for it. Because once you're there, you stay there 20 years. Most people do. And if you make, you know, if you make Master Chief, you can stay there 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's a great story. I so many great people, and I don't want to start naming the ones that have come out of it because I'll forget some, and I know more than you and Keith and Bill, or I know others. But
well, you know, one thing that's really cool is this coming May 19th, we're having a 45th anniversary.
No kidding. Where is this going to happen?
It'll happen at Schlesinger Hall in Alexandria, Virginia. So Jerry Gilmore, the guy that I replaced, he's close to 80 years old now. Bill is too.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to be there.
Oh, cool.
And just so many people that I've known. It's a bond you have, you know, once you've been through that together. It's just kind of like a brotherhood, you know. It's really cool.
It's a great band. If the people listening, I'm talking to Wayne Taylor, I'm about to let him go, so I'm talking his ear off. But if you've never seen the Navy, the Country Current, it's one of the better, tightest bands, I think, maybe because you guys play all the time. Plus, you're really talented, but it's a really great band. It's a really great show band. Everything is very professional, and I found them one of the more enjoyable. I think I must have first seen them. I met Keith at an IBMA thing in Nashville years and years ago, and I went over to him right away because he was a banjo player, and kind of met up with him then later when he left. We've become better friends, but... it's a great band. I mean, people in that band, you got to have it, or you're not going to get in that band.
Oh yeah, they go through quite a few people to get the people that they feel will be the best fit.
And what Keith told me is that, yeah, they'd get him whatever he wanted. He had a Stelling because of Bill Emerson and Alan Monday.
Well,
but you can't take it with you.
No, you can't take it with you. And I mean, they'll get you what you want one time.
Yeah, okay.
And you better take care of it. But you know what? After about 10 years, you know, once that thing outlives its usefulness, then you might be able to get another one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some of those instruments get pretty pricey.
Well, Wayne, you have this great Carnegie tradition. It's just a great, you nail it. And I know you spent so much time to make those things come out. And you got 12 songs from what would be the album that you're singing about, or the event, let's say. But the 13th is Vincent, Starry, Starry Night.
Starry, Starry Night. Donnie is such an interesting banjo player. He was friends with Earl Scruggs, very good friends with Earl Scruggs. There's a guy named Hester Starr that lives here in Starrtown, North Carolina. Earl used to go play on Sundays with Hester Starr. And Donnie was telling me, he said, a lot of that Up the Neck stuff that Earl does, that a lot of that comes from old Hester Starr.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. They'd sit and pick for hours at a time. And Donnie would go over and pick some. But he used to, Brother Oswald used to invite Donnie over to his house to Christmas parties. And Earl would always be there. And so they're buddies, you know. So at this time, Donnie was a teenager. And they were playing a song, and Earl piped up and said, I'm going to break that boy's finger. Talking about Donnie because he's so good. But what Donnie did for this CD, he tabbed out every note Earl played on that show. Every song is tabbed out, and he even plays Earl's mistakes. That's what Earl did.
He could put those in a book and sell them, you know.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, you just need to compile those things, and these are the licks Earl played. Back up and lead.
No kidding.
Everything's tabbed out.
I need to talk to Donnie.
You do. You need to know this guy. I'm trying to really promote him because he's been under a rock here for years.
I don't know the name other than you telling me about him.
Nobody knows who he is. He played with the Crow Brothers for a while.
Oh, sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
He played with them for a while,
okay.
But he likes to stay local. He has a whole ton of students. He's taught some, I don't know if you ever heard of Ben Cockman, but he's a national flat picking champion.
Yes.
Yeah, Donnie's taught him. He taught the whole Cockman family how to play.
Yeah.
And the banjo player for the Cockman family, Billy, he won the national banjo championship, you know, and that's Donnie's teaching. He's just a great teacher.
It's a fun album. It's a great album, and I'm going to listen for all those mistakes that Donnie plays to recreate. And I always enjoy your singing, and I know you're always with great band members too, Wayne. So it's fun. It's Carnegie tradition. It's great to have, and I'm thrilled that you sent it to me and said, here's something new we can talk about, because I've been trying to figure out a reason to get you on the show, so this worked out great.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Steve. I tell you what, I look forward to seeing you in Nashville here coming up soon.
Sometime in June we'll get together, and by then everyone will know all about Carnegie tradition.
I hope so. Thank you so much for helping me get it out there.
You're more than
welcome.
You're welcome, friend. I'll see you later.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.